And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again today. I'll tell you, I'm having a very special day today because I'm actually in the studios of American Family Radio, here meeting the staff and talking to people, and Tim and Walker and so many others. We're here doing some special work, but this is a real privilege to be here. I've got a slightly bigger studio to work in, and I've got producers sitting right across from me, looking at me. Brent is sitting in for me today, and I'm really enjoying it. It's always an honor. In fact, I have to pinch myself sometimes to be reminded that I am blessed to be associated with American Family Radio and the American Family Association, a dream, a vision that God put in the heart of Don Wildman decades ago and has now come into fruition, is still growing, is still moving, is still making an impact on our culture. And let me just assure you that by the grace of God, no matter what else they may cancel, we will be here, okay? We will continue to be here. We're not going anywhere. I guess I'm so excited that I forgot to turn my phone off. I hope you all can't hear that, but that's a little amateur activity there, believe it or not. And guess who's calling me? One of my fellow talk show hosts. He ought to know better than to call me while I'm on the air. Come on. Come on, Alex, I'm on the air. Oh, boy. I thought that was, one of these, these people who done you all the time. They're calling you. And you know what? He just won't quit. Oh, he and I are going to have a laugh on this one when I finally see him. And he goes, oh, you were on the air and I was calling you. Yes, I was on the air, my friend. But at any rate, folks, it's just great to be here and great to be a part of this network. And seriously, with all of the censorship that is going on in our culture today, I take tremendous godly satisfaction in knowing that American Family Radio is here bringing you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help us, God. I want to remind you, by the way, we have our podcasts. And our podcasts are tapes, they're recordings of the programs. You can find those on AFR.net. I would just encourage you to check out The Awakening on the podcast and use it. Make a copy of the link and send it to somebody else so they can listen to the program, particularly when there's information that you really want others to hear and things that you really want others to know about, or you just want to introduce them to my radio program or introduce them to the network in general, please make sure you use that. That's extremely important to us because it helps us to engage with you and to know that you're engaging with us. It's difficult to know. I have to use my imagination to see all of you out there. That's why anytime I go somewhere and speak and more of our AFR listeners are showing up, I say, please introduce yourselves to me. Please make sure that you talk to me. And I say that because I have to use my imagination to know that you're there. I know you're there. And you call me, obviously. I know I can hear your voice. But I love seeing you because it quickens my imagination. But when you go to that podcast and you engage with the podcast, it's a way that we can measure the involvement of our audience. So please make sure you do that, particularly for The Awakening. I'd love to know personally that you're engaging with us. Now today, folks, I want to discuss something with you that is not a top story in the news, but it's just something that just struck me. And I think this is going to be a bigger problem for our country unless we rid ourselves of it. And ridding ourselves of it is going to mean ridding ourselves of these leftists and Marxists and socialists and communists that have infiltrated themselves into the body politic and the culture of our country and are poisoning it. And we've got to, when I say rid ourselves, you understand what I mean. I mean, vote these people out of office. Keep them away from the levers of power, because they really are doing a tremendous disservice to our country. And what am I talking about? Came across a story about John Brennan. You all remember who John Brennan is. John Brennan is the former CIA director under Barack Obama, former CIA director. He recently, in a interview on MSNBC, said the following. Are you ready for this? He says, "I am increasingly embarrassed to be a white male." Just stop and think about that for a moment. "I am increasingly embarrassed," John Brennan said, "to be a white male." Now, folks, I can't really begin to express how evil such a comment is. And I don't think he has a clue of just how evil and destructive a comment like that is. Now, remember something about John Brennan. And if you have not heard me talk about this before, this may be new to you. But John Brennan is a self-confessed former communist. Now, I think he'd probably say he's not a communist now, but he is a self-confessed former communist. The first time he ever voted, he voted for Gus Hall for president of the United States. Gus Hall was then, I think, the chairman or former chairman of the Communist Party USA. So John Brennan started his political engagement and involvement as a card-carrying member of the Communist Party. And you see, a lot of people are not aware of that, but that's who Barack Obama chose to be his former CIA director. So that's kind of his pedigree. And by the way, he says in information that I've read about him that he was shocked when he applied to work for the CIA that they allowed him to join without really questioning, that wasn't disqualifying. And you do have to stop and wonder about that. Well, why wasn't it? Why wasn't he questioned about it extensively? Why wasn't there some investigation done? Well, maybe they figure, well, he was young then and everybody goes through a communist phase. Oh, I didn't. And I don't think most Americans go through a communist phase. We might go through a phase where we're more liberal, but I mean, my goodness, this man was actually an active communist voting for a communist to run the country. And that tells you something about just how far out he was, frankly, just how far out he is now. But this insidious racial demagoguery and ideology is the new American form of communism that the left has taken on, because what he is saying here is, "I am increasingly embarrassed to be a member of what the communists would call, in classic Marxist thought, the bourgeoisie, the owners of the means of capital, the dominating class." Because, see, in America, classism doesn't work, because too many people start out with nothing and end up highly successful. And we don't have this rigid class structure in our country. Now, I'm not saying that nobody in our country thinks that way. Some people may think that way, but it's simply not predominant in our culture. So the left is using race as a substitute for class. And what he's saying is, I am choosing to be embarrassed by the fact that I'm associated with, I guess, the wrong race. Back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
Americans in general, and even evangelicals in particular, seem confused about important details of their faith. A study by Lifeway Research found that Americans don't know much about theology, and many evangelicals seem confused as well. Tyler O'Neill wrote about the 12 lies American evangelicals believe. Here are just a few of them. Americans generally believe that their personal salvation depends on good works. The survey found that three-fourths agreed with the statement that people must contribute to their own effort for personal salvation. More than half said that good deeds help them earn a spot in heaven. On the other hand, 60% said Christ's death on the cross is the only sacrifice that could remove the penalty of sin. This statement is closer to what the Bible teaches in Ephesians 2:8-9, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of your own doing, it is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one should boast." Americans seem to believe that everyone goes to heaven. The study even found that almost two-thirds of evangelicals described heaven as a place where all people will ultimately be reunited with their loved ones. Just over half of Americans agreed with the biblical view that only those who trust in Jesus Christ alone receive eternal salvation. Americans also believe that salvation can come through many means. Nearly two-thirds said that God accepts worship of all religions. Nearly half of evangelicals agree that God accepts all kinds of worship. And this survey correlates with a survey done by Probe Ministries with Bronner Research of born-again millennials. Americans in general, and evangelicals in particular, accept a pluralistic view of salvation. You know, these surveys remind us that churches need to focus even more attention on teaching sound doctrine. And when we're witnessing to non-believers, we need to define our terms and clearly explain the message of salvation. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
Go deeper on topics like you hear on Viewpoints by visiting pointofview.net. Pointofview.net.
Hey, it's Michael Woolworth with Bible League International. You know, it was 110 degrees in Ethiopia, Africa. Hundreds had gathered for Sunday worship outdoors, and I learned that some had walked an hour or more just to be there. Afterwards, I met Cademan, hunched over a table and frantically copying scriptures from an Amharic language Bible to a lined piece of paper. Then his face turned sad as he closed the Bible and handed it back to its rightful owner. Only a few in that church to have a Bible. You see, Cademan loves the Lord, leads his family, is faithful at worship, but he's never read a single verse in his own Bible because he does not own one. While we in America can open our Bibles every day, 9 of 10 Christians in parts of Africa are denied God's Word. And that's why Bible League is focused right now on Africa, the place in the world where Christianity is growing in the greatest numbers. A Bible can be sent for $5. $50 will send 10. Learn how you can be a blessing by calling 800-YES-WORD. 800-YES-WORD or by visiting sendbiblesnow.org. That's sendbiblesnow.org.
Brian Fisher here. Who treats people more equally, liberals or conservatives? The study has the answer. The Supreme Court will finally hear a voter fraud case. Dr. Seuss is banned in Boston. Who would a minimum wage hike hurt the most? Liberals try and fail to get a think tank kicked off the Stanford campus. And what didn't happen at CPAC that should have? Next on Focal Point.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
So yesterday we were talking about Dr. Seuss and the fact that he is now being banned. His works, his books are now being banned because of his alleged involvement with, I don't know, conservative politics. But of course, what I've read says that the man was a confirmed liberal, but some of the books apparently, allegedly at least, make fun of or in some way caricature Oriental people or caricature Black people. I'm not sure. I've never heard anything like this until now. And I've read Dr. Seuss's books as I was a kid growing up. I may go back and look again because I just want to see just how nitpicky, what kind of magnifying glass, tweezers the left brought out in order to nitpick through his work to try to find something they could complain about. Because anything that is classic Americana, which I consider Dr. Seuss to be, must be debunked. It must be destroyed. It must be discredited. Because the whole point is to discredit America. America is a bad place. Well, so yesterday it was about Dr. Seuss being racial. Today, John Brennan says, "I'm increasingly embarrassed to be a white male." Now, it should be obvious, and it probably is for most of you, but there may be some for whom it is not. What's wrong with that? Number one, what's wrong with it is that it is denying God. No human being should be embarrassed for who God made you to be. No human being should be embarrassed because God made you of a particular background or ancestry or what have you. That is a rebellion against God. That's number one. Nobody should say, I'm increasingly embarrassed to be, well, some people are just embarrassed to be Americans. And that's a big problem. They're embarrassed to be, I mean, I've heard people say that. They're embarrassed to be Americans. I'm not embarrassed to be American. I love my country. I'm thankful to God that I'm an American. I'm thankful to God to live in this land of freedom and opportunity and hope. And I'm fighting to make sure that that never changes. But it denies God. You know, one of my favorite scriptures is Acts 17:26. It says, God is made from one blood, one blood. That means there's really only one race. All nations of men to dwell on all the face of the earth and determine their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. That means God, throughout the course of human history, has placed people in different places, positions, circumstances, times, for the purpose of carrying out his will. And the rest of that verse says that we might seek the Lord. So God is moving to reveal himself to mankind, and what has happened in terms of the formation of nations and the positions of peoples has been to advance his cause. And I really believe that the penultimate example of that is the United States of America, that's been responsible for the gospel of Jesus Christ going out across the world more than any other nation that's ever existed. I am grateful to God to be a part of that. I'm grateful to God that that's part of my legacy, that that's part of who I am. As I've said many times before, some of us have Irish ancestry, some Italian ancestry, some German ancestry, some Eastern European or Russian or Ukrainian or Romanian ancestry, or some of us have Asian ancestry. And there are many countries, of course, that are classed as Asian. Some of us that may have Indian ancestry. I mean, like from the nation of India. Some of us Native American ancestry, the people who were indigenous when our European ancestors began to populate and settle this continent. But the hand of God has been moving in all of that to position us all so that none of us should be ashamed of who we are or where we've come from. Of course, if you have a background in communism, which has as one of its preeminent ideas is that there is no God, well, no wonder you come to that conclusion. But here's the worst, here's the other really sad thing about that. And this is what collectivism, Marxism, communism, socialism, this is what it does. It denies the sacredness of the individual. You are not an individual. You are just part of a group. And you have no individual identity. You have no individual destiny. You are just part of a group. I'm ashamed to be part of the group I'm a part of. Well, first of all, ultimately, you are an individual, and your identity is not in a group. Now, that doesn't mean you don't know what your background or your ancestry is. That doesn't mean you don't have maybe some common ancestral experiences with other people. I mean, there are some things that are common to people who came from Ireland, particularly in the midst of the potato famine. They have some similar experiences. There are things that are common with people who came from Germany when the peasants were the equivalent of slaves, and they actually had an uprising in Germany in the early 16th century against the treatment that they were suffering. And there are people who have a common ancestral background from Africa or from, you name the country. You name the country, of course. But that doesn't define who you are. That's just part of your background, part of your ancestral history. That does not define who you are. What defines who you are the decisions that you make and the choices that you make and the things that you do. Your thoughts, your words, your deeds. But this idiot, I don't know who he thinks he's associating himself with. I guess there is some universal, iconic identity that belongs to all white males, and he is ashamed to be associated with him. I mean, you know how asinine that is? And to put this man in charge of the CIA, my goodness gracious, it tells you just how off the mark Barack Obama was. But that leads me in to something else I want to discuss that's not really prominent in the news right now. It's going to become more prominent, and that is that the Supreme Court is finally going to take a look at the Voting Rights Act and its application today. Now, I'm going to say something to you all that will shock some people. It may not shock you all, because if you've been listening to me, you probably know where I'm coming from on these issues, but this would shock some people. This would get me thrown out of the group that would claim me, okay? Believe me, it doesn't matter to me, because it's already happened in some circles anyway. But, you know, the Voting Rights Act had a very deadly mistake in it. And it was this, or in the way it was interpreted ultimately, and it was this. The idea that we're not trying to protect black individuals' right to vote. No, that's not what we're doing. We're protecting the group's right to vote. Well, there's no such thing as a group right to vote. Voting is an individual matter. And what we should have been doing was protecting the right of every individual to cast their vote. But here's the deadly assumption. Here's the deadly mistake. And it is this. The only way we can be assured of that is we have to draw districts that have a majority of black people in them so that there is an almost guaranteed outcome that the person who is elected from that district will also be black. And that's how we will know that their voting rights are secured. In other words, it's not the individual, it's the group that we're trying to protect. And so you've had now for the last 60 years, the phenomenon that in order for quote unquote black people to be represented, they've got to be represented by a black person. Well, that's a lie out of the pit of hell. Because I'm going to tell you something, folks. There's not a single member of the Black Congressional Black Caucus that represents me. Not a single one. And in my view, they don't even represent black people, but that's what they were supposedly elected to do from these majority black districts. We call them majority-minority districts that were designed to assure black representation. And you know what all they did? All they really accomplished was to assure an ideological hegemony and control of those districts by the Democrat Party. That's all it did. It did not assure representation in the least. How can you say such a thing? Well, these communities that these districts represent are racked with violence. Their economies are decimated. We've just experienced over 500 riots in these so-called minority-majority districts designed to protect the rights of black people to be represented. The educational systems in these districts are decrepit and disgraceful, with many non-accredited schools teaching these children and blocking the rights of parents to make their own choices for their children by having the dollars, the educational dollars, follow the parents rather than having the parents chase the dollars to whatever school is chosen for them. And on and on it goes. Those folks are not being represented. They're being misrepresented.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
What is money? I hold in my hand a $5 bill. What is it? Is it paper with printing on it? Sure it is, but it's more than that. What is it? Well, this money I hold in my hand is a part of my life expended. This money wasn't given to me. I had to work for it. I had to give some of my life to earn it. I invested several years of my life in study and preparation for my job, and this money represents a partial return on those years of my life. This money is part of my life hired out. I did my job last month, and in return for that part of my life, my employer paid me with money. The time I spent working to earn this money is gone from my life. It can never be replaced. So then, this money represents a part of my life. A few people are unlucky enough to have money given to them. I said that right. A few people are unlucky enough to have money given to them. Most of us have to work for it. Our money, then, is a part of our life expended, spent. Not only that, but this money is a part of my life extended. I cannot go physically to hungry children in Pakistan and help feed them, but my money can go for me. It can extend my life. I cannot go to that college where young men and women are and help them in their struggle for an education, but I can send my money, and it will extend my life. I cannot go to that home where orphan children are being cared for, but I can send a part of my life by sending some of the money I earned in return for a part of my life spent. I want to have a part in these and 100 other good causes, but due to circumstances, it is impossible for me to go and help physically in every place I would like to do so. But by sending a part of my life expended, I can extend my life to those areas of need. And then, if you would go a little deeper, you would find that this money represents a part of my love expressed. This money can show my children I love them by putting food on the table, clothes on their bodies, shelter over their heads. With this money, I can provide medical care, education, entertainment, and other necessities and pleasures of life. When we give our money, we're giving a part of our life and love. We are expressing our love by giving a part of our life. This money can also express part of my love for God. There are words which say, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind." This money represents an effort on the part of my heart and soul and strength and mind. There's a great struggle in the heart of man as to the expression of love with his money. Man is naturally selfish, and it takes a stretching of the heart for him to release his money and express his love. When I give God 10%, it isn't just money I'm giving, but a part of my life and an expression of my love. What is money? Well, money we work for is a part of our lives expended, but it can also be a part of our lives extended and a part of our love expressed. What are you going to do with that money you hold in your hand?
This has been My Turn with Don Weilman, a production of the American Family Association.
The Awakening. The Awakening. Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
So let me make this clear. It is time to do away with majority-minority districts. It is time to stop treating people like they can only be represented by someone who happens to be of the same or similar racial, ancestral, however you want to describe it, background, and start drawing these districts on the basis of commonality of neighborhoods, geography, in other words, on rational bases that allow people to compete in the marketplace of ideas to persuade those in those areas that they will better represent them. I do not believe that only a black person can represent a black neighborhood, or only a Hispanic person can represent an Hispanic neighborhood, or only an Irish person can represent an Irish neighborhood. Now, I know there'd be a lot of people who might not like that, but because I lived in Boston for many years, and you go into South Boston, which was a predominantly Irish neighborhood, and tell them they don't need an Irish person to represent them, they probably want to fight you. But that's okay. I just don't believe that, because it's not about the color of your skin or your ancestral background. It is about your ideas and about your character and about your convictions. And it's time for the Supreme Court to catch up with this and undo the mistake that we made 60 years ago, turning this into racial identity as opposed to ideas, principles, policies. What are you going to do to make life better for these folks? And I don't think that any group or somebody coming from a particular group has a monopoly on that. In fact, in some ways, people who are outside that particular group may have more independence of thought and may be able to bring more of a creative and innovative approach because they're not bound by all of these sort of cultural pressures to think a certain way. So I know that oh my goodness, I don't know whether these leftists will say anything about that, but I mean that idea just, folks, leftists monitoring the program, their heads just exploded when I said that. I mean, they just kind of, eyeballs popped out. What is he saying? I mean, this is a religious principle for them. Well, of course we know that only a black person can represent black people. No, that's a lie out of the pit of hell. On that basis, since we know that Jesus wasn't black, I don't believe he was. I really believe, well, Jesus was a Middle Eastern man. He descended from David. He was a Middle Eastern Jew. But I think the Bible intentionally does not give us a description of his physical appearance precisely because he is the man for all seasons and all people. And that's not what matters. The Bible says we don't even know him according to the flesh anymore. That's what the Apostle Paul said. He said we once knew him according to the flesh when he was here, he was in the flesh, but now we don't know him that way anymore. And we're not supposed to know anyone that way. We're supposed to be looking at character and heart. In keeping with that, the Congress, with this H.R. 1 being considered, which is a federal takeover of our election system, and I want to get some of your calls in here too. 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. The Congress wants to really do a federal takeover of the election process and enshrine the very things I think need to end, enshrine those things into our federal law system. So that now, you've got the situation. Well, and we all know, right, don't we? We all know that while it's possible for almost anybody in this country to get an ID that would be necessary to rent a car, to use a hotel room, etc., we know black people can't do that. And having an ID to vote is really that's racist. That's discriminatory. I mean, we all know that, right? I mean, that's obvious, isn't it? Now, it's only obvious if you think black people are stupid. It's only obvious if you think black people are incapable of doing what everybody else in this country does. And of course, we know better. We know that these leftists can't be that. They can't possibly be that dumb. So it's got to be about the ability to cheat, because they can't possibly be dumb enough to think that a person, because of the color of their skin, might not be able to get an ID that would allow them to vote when they need an ID to do just about anything else in the culture and society that you need to do. Well, guess who the Congress is getting advice from, and guess who they're asking for support from? Stacey Abrams, the architect of the Georgia debacle, who's gotten 52, well, not all from George Soros, but she raised $52 million in 2019 and 2020, and a significant portion of that came from the likes of George Soros and Michael Bloomberg. Yeah, that's who they're asking for help. Oh, Stacey. By the way, folks, did you know that Stacey Abrams is actually being considered for an Oscar? It just goes to show this whole entertainment thing is not just and she's been nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize too. Yeah. For being able to manipulate her way into a victory in Georgia, the left just thinks that she's now walking on water. So there's a film that was made about her work. It's called All In, The Fight for Democracy. And would somebody please tell these people, we are not a democracy. We are a constitutional republic. Thank you very much. But she's going to get an Oscar for a mistitled documentary, which is apparently primarily about her and her efforts to combat voter suppression. Give me a break. Again, the number is 888-589-8840. Okay, you know what? Let me stop and come to your calls. I want to see what you all have to say about this and other topics that we could talk about. Let's go to Joe in Arkansas. Joe, welcome.
Yeah, thank you, Bishop Jackson. I wanted to make a comment about John Brennan, and that's that I don't think he's really embarrassed about being a white male. I think what he's really, in his heart, embarrassed about is that he's been a rotten and corrupt guy working in government all his life, doing nothing of any real value to society. And that if he would quit that, and if he would get an honest job doing honest work, maybe in construction or in a factory or on a farm, and actually produce something of value to society, if he would do that after about 10 years, he wouldn't be embarrassed about being a white male anymore. He'd start to think of himself as a worthwhile person.
Well, listen, I think you're giving him more credit than he deserves, but I don't know what kind of thinking this man has, the way he relates to this country, the way he talked about President Trump, called him a traitor and treasonous and all of this. So you're right. But that would mean him getting his thinking straight. Don't hold your breath for that one. But thanks for the call, Joe. Listen, do we have time to squeeze one more in? Okay, let's go to Essence in Texas. Essence, good to hear from you again.
Hey, Bishop. I just wanted to say, you said everything basically, but I wanted to say Satan is using God's individual creation of us against us to divide. But the deeper part of this, Bishop, that connects this is people verbally accepting the anti-white pledge, just as people accept the verbal antichrist pledge. And it's easy to follow the crowd thinking you can hide in that crowd. But God hears our pledges. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Essence. Wow, you are right. Look, this is all, folks, a deception of Satan. I started out saying this is a denial of God. Because when you deny, you say, I'm ashamed. And because you identify or see yourself as part of some group, I'm ashamed. What you're saying is, God, you messed up. And, you know, you need to redo this. And I'm just the person to tell you how to do it. Okay? And that's blasphemous, folks. It is idolatrous, because what you're really doing is setting yourself up as God, which to me is perfect for John Brennan, because here again, he started out as a communist. Oh, and by the way, if somebody can find this for me, please do. I have never heard of John Brennan renouncing his association and involvement with the Communist Party. Never heard it. Now, maybe he's done it, but I have never heard it. Stand by, folks. We'll be back in a moment.
It's a no-brainer. Men go to the men's restrooms and women go to the women's. But that's not how President Biden sees it. He issued an executive order allowing men to go into women's restrooms, effectively putting women and children in danger. This order includes any public high school and university that receives federal funding.
Come on, man.
Act now. Send an email to President Biden and tell him, come on, man, protect our women and children from predators. Just go to AFA.net. AFA.net.
I'm Francine Perry. I am the mother of Laura Perry, who was a prodigal for 9 years. And I would just like to tell you that prayer changes things. Yes, you grieve over the prodigal, but God will comfort you. The Holy Spirit will comfort you.
Submit a prayer request for a prodigal at inhisimage.movie/prayer.
My heart's desire is that more churches would start a prodigal box, because we all have someone.
inhisimage.movie/prayer.
A charitable gift annuity through the AFA Foundation is an excellent way to provide yourself with guaranteed permanent income while at the same time supporting the American Family Association. Here's what one supporter told us.
I very much want to see God's word continue into the next generation. This is a way I can help AFA spread the truth and promote their biblical stand. My experience with the AFA Foundation continues to remind me that I have a small part in helping AFA in the battle for our nation's values.
Financial planning is essential to your family. A charitable gift annuity through the AFA Foundation is one way you can support AFA and the health of our nation. The planners at the AFA Foundation are here to help you do the most with your finances. You can call us at 800-326-4543, extension 345, find us on Facebook, or email foundation@afa.net, and learn whether a charitable gift annuity is right for you.
Whenever you see a teenager who's really snarly and is piercing everything she can find, I see a small little girl on the inside, balled up in a fetal position, going, "Please, Mom, help me."
This is Focus on the Family Minute with Dr. Meg Meeker.
Because every teenage girl that has gotten into a lot of trouble by the time she's a senior, they'll say, you know, nobody cared to listen. Nobody wanted to hear what I had to say. And so what girls crave, and it's hard for parents to hear, is the simple things.
Yeah.
They want you to look at them and listen and let them know you want their company. You're not always running off to work. You're not always running off to the gym.
That I mean something to you.
And I mean something. Huh. And so not just that I love you, but that I like you and I want to hear what you have to say.
Hear more from Dr. Meeker today at FamilyMinute.org.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
The number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. We want to hear from you on these issues. So let's come back to this. Let's go to Henry in Virginia. Henry, welcome.
Yes, this is off the subject today, but the other day, you were talking about Coca-Cola and not using their products. And I'm sure they're involved in a lot of stuff, but I don't know much about what it is.
Well, Henry, it's very much on the topic because Coca-Cola started doing some training in their company to encourage, quote unquote, white people to diminish their whiteness. And then they gave a list of characteristics of white people that white people have to rid themselves of. So it's the same. It's very much on the topic because this is the kind of racial division that is being stoked in our culture by all of the institutions, it seems, of any influence. The corporate world has bought into this. Obviously, the mainstream media, the entertainment world, the public schools have bought into this stuff to a very large extent. So, that's what Coca-Cola is doing. They're now trying to train their white workers to be less white. I mean, this stuff is insane. So, Henry, that's what it is. So, was there any comment after that?
Yes, because my whole career, I've worked for a lot of black families, and they're just like white people. The upstanding people that care, I don't see any difference at all in the way black people live and white people live if they care what they're doing, if that makes any sense.
Well, Henry, listen, thank you so much for the call. Look, folks, have you all ever seen, my wife and I were in the airport one time, and there was not far from us an Asian family. I don't know exactly where they were from. But their children were playing in the airport, you know, and they were running up and down and doing what. And, you know, my wife and I looked at each other and we kind of both had the same thought. Do you see any difference between those children and any other children of any other background, any other complexion? We just kind of laughed. Human beings are human beings. There's no such thing as, oh, well, they're this and therefore they're like that. I mean, that's silly. That doesn't mean that people in different cultures might not have established norms, some good, some bad. But that has nothing to do with the genetic predisposition of the people because of the complexion. It just has to do with the culture that they come up with in. You know, and please don't mistake me, folks. I'm not trying to in any way insult Native Americans, because here again, they're human beings just like the rest of us, with the same problems, the same sins, the same triumphs and tragedies that other human beings face. But, you know, this idyllic image that was painted of the Native American, until the Europeans got here, things were just wonderful. And then the Europeans came and they just brought all their, you know, white supremacy. And, well, historical fact, you don't hear much about this, but Indian tribes were fighting each other, killing each other, cannibalizing each other. There was a big tradition among many Indian tribes to drink the blood of the enemy that you killed in order to imbibe his spirit. I mean, it's not because Indians are somehow, or Native Americans are somehow genetically bad people. That's the cultural environment they grew up in, and they were doing it. But guess what? Native Americans become Christians. They renounce all that stuff. They understand that stuff was in their background, but they start to conform to how God made us to be. And there's no difference between them and you or any of us. We're all part of the same human family with the same strengths, weaknesses. Of course, we differ individually in terms of, you know, our personalities and our gifts and all of that. But I mean, in terms of the common problem that we all face, it's sin. And the common need that we all have, it's salvation. And all this stuff that the left is doing is really, it's an abomination to God, folks. It really is. Again, the number is 888-589-8840. Let's come back to your calls. Ken, you've been very patient. Thank you. Ken, you from Mississippi, you are on.
Yes, sir. I'm going to call you Brother Jackson because, brother, you tell it just like it is, and I do appreciate that we have somebody that'll get out there and stand up and tell these left-wing idiots just what the real world needs. That's what it boils down to.
Well, God bless you, brother.
Well, thank you. I'd like to define the two parties we have. We have the Democrats. I'm not supposed to say that. And we have the Republicans. The Republicans can't do anything because they don't have a backbone. And the Democrats. Anybody that can say they're a Christian can't truly be a Democrat, because you can't be a murderer and a Christian at the same time. It don't work.
Yeah. Well, Ken.
Brother, I appreciate what you're doing. You're getting the word out, and if people would only listen to you and heed what you're saying, you're dead on. You're right down the right groove, my friend. And
well, thank you, Ken.
May God continue to bless you and carry on.
I appreciate that, Ken. And folks, I want to remind you all, make sure you go to the podcast versions of the recordings of the programs archived. And just like Ken just said, you know, there may be people that you know who need to hear this. And maybe they've just never been confronted with it. So share that with them, because they may not be in a position to listen to the program live. Okay, let's keep going to your calls. The number is 888-589-8840. Let's go to Dwayne in Louisiana. Dwayne, welcome.
How you doing?
Doing great, Dwayne. How are you?
I'm doing good. I just had a question. I understand this, what you're saying about individuality versus group, but I'm wondering, you know, biblically speaking, you know, hasn't there always been an understanding that we are a part of a greater group, and so we're not necessarily individuals when it comes to sin. Sin is not just an individual situation; it's a group situation, and so they would make sacrifices not just for themselves but for the whole group as a whole. And so when someone says, and I'm not saying I understand fully what the man was saying, but when he says, I'm embarrassed about being a white person, could that not just be almost the same thing as, like Isaiah saying, I'm embarrassed? I mean, I'm a man of unclean lips and a nation of unclean lips. Can't that be?
Well,
I don't know if it's blasphemous, is what I'm trying.
Well, Dwayne, here's the thing. That's old covenant theology. Because remember, under the old covenant, people didn't have an individual relationship with God. They didn't. They weren't born again. They weren't filled with the Holy Spirit. You don't ever hear Jesus talking that way. You don't ever hear Jesus suggesting that somehow each of us is responsible for the sin of some group that we belong to. Jesus dealt with each individual as an individual. And consider this. Is anybody going to be able to stand before God in judgment and say, well, wait, Lord, forget. Wait, I'm part of this group, remember? No. In fact, the Bible says that even the intergenerational sin said in the new covenant no longer is an individual responsible even for your own father's sins. You're responsible only for your own. So, yeah, that's an old covenant application. The other problem is it denies individuality. Hey, what does that mean? So all white people are XYZ, whatever that is. And if you buy into that, here's the other problem, Dwayne. If you buy into that, then why wouldn't you buy into all black people are, or all Asian people are, or whatever? And I think all of us would say, no, you can't do that because you're stereotyping and you're denying the individual choices and character and what makes that person unique, which may or may not be shared widely with others. I mean, people would argue that my views aren't shared widely by a lot of black folks. I think they're shared widely by more than people know, but a lot of them are too intimidated and frightened to actually come out and say what they really think. So yeah, Dwayne, I don't think that it works on any basis under the new covenant reality that we are facing. I don't feel responsible for anything that black people do. And I happen to be an American of African ancestry. And I don't think that any person should feel responsible for anything that people allege that white people do. But thanks for the call. Let's go to Kate in Virginia. Wow, we're getting Virginia calls. Kate, welcome.
Hello.
Hi.
I wanted to say, just as a normal person, that I trust the big guy upstairs. I think everything's happening in divine order. People are doing the best they can with what they have. And these kids that are acting out, we have to understand that they're raised in an environment of total violence in their music, in their video games, the television, the movies. They just don't know any better. It always the good guy wins by killing as many people as fast as he can. The winner has to win by destruction and killing, and it desensitizes them. And I try to be understanding and forgiving, knowing that they're just trying to express themselves as best they can.
All right, Kate, I got it. Thank you for the call. We appreciate that. But still, God's going to judge each individual for their own actions. Let's try to get one more call in here before we have to go. Let's go to Helen in Mississippi. Helen, welcome.
Hey, Bishop. I can't wait to meet you one day, if not in this lifetime, but the next lifetime.
Hey, man.
You are my favorite of all favorites, and I listened to your sermon Sunday, and I shared it with my life group class at my church. But I just want to say that I am embracing my whiteness. If I was black, I would embrace my blackness. If I was Chinese, I'd embrace my Chineseness. And that's all I wanted to say.
Amen.
And how much I love what you do, and I love you, man.
Thank you so much, Helen. Appreciate that. Right, folks, God, you know that old saying, God don't make no junk. So he made you who you are. Embrace it, of course. Well, that's going to do it for today, folks. Coming to you from the headquarters of American Family Radio. Always keep in mind, folks, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.